Hi, folks. This is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 78. All right, enough of that. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars and amps and pedals and music and all, I'm conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Chime in with comments and such on the blog show notes. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. Last but not least, go to guitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. All right. Whew. Let's get to it. So yeah, I love this time of year. It's early June. The funny thing about it is whenever obviously you could tell that this is one of my mobile podcasts recorded in my mobile podcasting station or studio, my Grand Am GT 2000 edition, 168,000 miles on it. It's awesome. Love it. Anyway, it's funny, I look down my street and with all the sprinklers going and everything, it reminds me of the beginning of Caddyshack. And I start to think of that old Kenny Loggins tune that I'm all right, don't nobody worry about me, you know. And so in the dancing, what was it? A gopher. It was a gopher. The dancing gopher at the very beginning. It's awesome. So all that aside, hey, it is music related though, right? Yeah, okay. It's fair game, right? Well, this is episode 78, and it took a little longer to get episode 77 out, and I sincerely apologize for that. I want to tell you that I don't really have a great excuse for it, but there's going to be some changes around here. It might not affect you all very much, but it's definitely going to affect me. As of yesterday, I put in my 2 weeks notice with my current employer, and we'll start in 2 weeks with a new employer. So some transition time. It's kind of crazy, you know. I'm sure you've changed jobs before. Well, it's been 7 years since I've changed jobs, so it's really kind of crazy. I mean, I've moved around into different departments within the company that I work for now, which, you know, that was exciting and strange and all that stuff, but it's nothing like going to a completely new environment, new people, the whole thing, new business, totally different business. So that's going to be interesting, and I'm very excited about it. So that's just a little bit of personal backgrounds going on for me, for your humble host. Anyway, I wanted to tell you about a show I went to a couple weeks ago. Brad Paisley was in town. It was his second show on his tour, on a summer tour. And I surprised my wife. I set it up like months in advance. As soon as the tickets went on sale, I bought tickets. She'd never been to a big time music show before. She's never been to a big time concert, rock, country, or otherwise. So when they went on sale, I thought, you know, I know she likes him, and for a lot of different reasons, and not just that he's better looking than me, but hey, you know, all that aside. What I did was I set up the babysitting, didn't let her know. I just said, hey, this night we're going out, got a sitter lined up, kids are staying the night, you know, and we're going out. Had no idea until dinner that night, the night of the show, that I showed her the tickets and I revealed the surprise. I couldn't contain myself any longer. I had to share. So anyway, dinner wasn't anything special. It was just Applebee's, right? But I know she loves Applebee's. I'm like, Applebee's is okay. And, you know, I'm cool with it. I'm not terribly picky. You know, I just won't eat like White Castle or a whole lot of McDonald's or anything. Like McDonald's breakfast, but not McDonald's anything else, pretty much. There goes my McDonald's endorsement in White Castle. Good grief. Maybe I can get an endorsement from Applebee's, because I like Applebee's. My wife really likes Applebee's. Okay, so anyway, we go up to the show, and we had decent tickets. And a little background on Brad Paisley. I've been listening to Brad Paisley since, about 2000. I think the Who Needs Pictures album and Part 2, and he's had several albums since. I haven't really kept up as well as with the recent albums, but I consider him one of the best guitar players around right now. You know, he's up there with your Brent Masons and so on. The really cool thing about Brad is that he's not just fast and has all those honky-tonk licks and everything, but he has this really unique style, honestly, that is just not part of the Nashville norm. You know, his tone's a little more driven, but it's still really, really country, really that Telly twang. And I love the, you know, he writes his tunes, writes great tunes, funny tunes, emotional tunes, tunes that really, I mean, there's a lot of truth in his songs, and I really like that. Really relates, you know. So anyway, one of the big things was that we were going to see one of the best guitar players of this era, if not, you know, not the best, I don't know. And basically the peak of his career, probably, you know, right now, anytime in the next couple of years, probably he's still, you know, in the peak of his career. He's not terribly old, but he's not a young pup by any means. And it was one of the best shows I've seen. I put it up there with some of the, you know, when I saw Iron Maiden in '86, it was the spring of '87. That was pretty huge. They were, I would say they were right there. They had just gone over the hump with or jumped the shark, actually, with that, that tour and that album. I think it probably would have been better to see them on the Power Slave tour than on the Somewhere on Tour. And but that aside, it was still it was a much anticipated show for me, and one of the best I remember from my youth. And I'd put the Paisley show. We could not sit down. We had decent seats, but we didn't necessarily use them. And let me get to that in just a little bit here. He had an opening act, and I don't remember the guy's name, McCreary or something. And he was okay. You know, he's a young kid. I think he's like 17 or 18. It was nice. It was okay stuff. And then the band Perry was the second opening act, and they had about a 45-minute show or something like that. And I really didn't know a whole lot about them. I'd heard a few of their songs on the radio, but they got a new fan, at least one new fan, in me that night, because they were pretty awesome. And she was she's a pretty amazing singer and performer. They were really great. One of their guitarists is actually a kid from here in Indiana, and that was kind of cool to know. I mean, it wasn't one of those things where the token, and our fiddle player's from right here in central Indiana or from Seymour or whatever, you know, that sort of thing that people, that it's show business, folks. They do that, okay? So they'll go to Ohio and they'll say the same thing about, you know, from Owen County, Ohio. I don't even know if there's an Owen County, Ohio, honestly. But I know that big acts do that sort of thing. And they get a big roar out of the crowd, and this, yeah, especially, I mean, it's a big country thing to do. But really, this guy, and I don't even think they mentioned him. That he, maybe they just, as an aside, said that, you know, they had a Hoosier in the band. And it didn't really draw a whole lot of attention. But really, the guy is from Indiana, and that was kind of cool. I knew that going in, that he really was, because he did some work for a friend of mine. And anyway, that was kind of cool. But yeah, the band Perry really, they played a bunch of their hits and some songs I hadn't heard before. And then they paid homage to some other bands, some older bands, and that was always nice. That's always nice. Country music, they always remembers its roots, right? You know, Bob Seger may say rock and roll never forgets, but it hasn't been a whole lot of times that I've been to a rock show and they really paid a whole lot of homage to the predecessors, unless they did a cover on one of their albums to get, to revive an old hit to get, some cash in their own pockets. That's always kind of bothered me, unless they really do a good cover, if it's a tribute cover or something like that of an album. Back in the day, they still do it. Some bands that I really like, every album they would do a cover of an older song, and it was, I don't know, it just kind of didn't really work for me, honestly. And I have to say, one of them in particular, and I love Dave Mustaine, I love Megadeth, that's one in particular, it's like, it's a great album, and all of a sudden, boom, they do Anarchy in the UK, and I'm like, and probably the one that left the worst taste in my mouth was No More Mr. Nice Guy when he did that. Man, Dave, no, don't do that, be Dave Mustaine, I don't know. But other than that, hey, we all make our mistakes, and I love it that, and I probably posted on the Facebook page too before about how, an interview that Dave Mustaine did about, he was talking about his mistakes and different things, and that's something, another thing, not only do I love Dave Mustaine for his guitar playing and songwriting and aggressive style and just, really wanting to jump out there and do stuff, he admits where he's messed up, or he's human, right? He's just become a really good guy, really great human being, in my opinion. So, how did we get to Dave Mustaine? Let's see, Brad Paisley, Dave Mustaine. The only thing they really have in common is they're great guitar players. Okay, all right, back to it. So the band Perry won over a new fan, and I think my wife likes them too. So we were very impressed. I was pleasantly surprised by them and thought, man, we probably need to download that album from iTunes. Hey, coincidentally, iTunes. You could, if you want to buy an album from iTunes, go on theguitarpodcast.net and click on the iTunes link, and then, it gets a little kickback to the show with very minimal effort from you, and you're supporting the show with just a few clicks. Anyway, impromptu advertisement on the, oh man, what have I become? Okay, so then, band Perry was done, before I stop here, band Perry, they have a girl lead singer and a guitar player and a bass player, and they all sing. All three of them sing. And they are basically the stars of the show, right? And then they have their backup band with two guitar players and a drummer and I think maybe a fiddler or steel. I don't exactly recall. They really dominated the stage. Those three, it was, I tried to watch the guitar players a lot, but they were really, really dynamic and awesome, so it was tough to really not pay attention to them and pay, so they garnered most of my attention. But at the end of the show, they were done and they put their instruments down and they were bowing and they were saying, thank you, and they ran off stage and the music was still playing. And what that means, what I'm saying here is, that the bass player put down his bass guitar and walked off stage, and the band still went. and it honestly didn't feel like the bottom dropped out. Now, I don't know if that means that the bass player wasn't doing a whole lot, which I think he probably was, because everything sounded really good. But what I'm saying is that either kudos to the sound man or the band or both, that when a bass player left, you know, everything still sounded really solid. I was like, leaned over to my wife. I said, the bass player left the stage and the bottom didn't drop out. That was kind of amazing to me. So just a little bit of something there. It was kind of interesting to me. So then, you know, a short pause, and they had really, really quick turnover. They struck the stages really quick. It seemed like maybe 20, 25 minutes tops, maybe even less to strike the stages and get it ready for the next act. And I don't know, maybe time's just moving that much faster for me now that I'm old, but Brad Paisley came out and they had this laser light show that was really cool. The whole backdrop was this electronic video screen. I don't even know what it's called. It was really cool. It was a great show. Very entertaining. A lot of video involved. I will say that within like the first 3 to 5 songs, they had a lot of trouble with vocals, harmonies, everything being balanced. And I know you could do a sound check and have it sounding perfect when there's nobody in the arena. And this is an outdoor amphitheater, so that may play a part of it too. And, you know, the sun's up when they're doing a sound check. So then the sun goes down and the place fills up with thousands of people. And they expect everything to work the same. And it doesn't. It just doesn't. And, I mean, that's just a fact of life, folks. Whenever, you know, if you're playing out and you do a sound check and then everything sounds crazy, kind of wonky after the room fills up, well, the room has changed. It's not that the sound man went and turned a bunch of things just to be vindictive to you and say, ha ha, guitar player, check this out. Good luck there, buddy. You know, it wasn't one of those things. It's not one of those things. It's just that the room changes, therefore everything changes, even the monitoring on stage. It's really weird, even if it's, you're using in-ear monitors like we do at my church. It's funny how that works. It will change a little bit, and then you're like, well, okay. You roll with it, right? It's showbiz, right? And so, anyway, they worked through a lot of the sound issues. They had some trouble with some amps. And later on in the show, and he wasn't making excuse by this, but he did say, he goes, this is our second stop on the tour this summer. I love summer, da-da-da-da-da, and all this stuff. And I was like, well, that makes sense, you know? If it's their second stop on the tour, they probably have some bugs to iron out. And again, they weren't making an excuse that, well, this is our second stop, so we don't have everything fixed, and there's bugs, and please bear with us, folks, or anything like that. They didn't make excuses. They just said, hey, it's our second stop, and this is really cool, and we love summertime, and led into another song, you know. But it did kind of explain some things to me, thinking that, okay, bugs need to be worked out. But they pretty much, within about 5 songs, they got the vocals pretty well ironed out. And I did notice that, you know, sometimes the guitar players will have their pedals on stage where they stomp them themselves, and other guys will have their pedals off stage where they have their tech do the switching for them. And I'm pretty sure from what I saw, Brad had a guy backstage. He had his tech switching the pedals around for him. Guy behind me is getting pulled over. It's a Mercedes. I see the Christmas tree. They light him up. Yep, he's got him pulled over. Glad it wasn't me, folks. Your faithful guitar podcast host is still driving 62 miles an hour on southbound I-65 towards Indianapolis. Downtown Indianapolis. We're still good to go. No traffic jams ahead. We should be good for our ETA of approximately 8:30 a.m. So, maybe even earlier. So Brad was just stinking awesome, all right? His vocals were great. His tone was great. His guitar tone was great. He switched guitars about every two songs, maybe less. And I'm thinking he went through, I tried to count, and then, you know, you get caught up in the entertainment of the show and everything. You know, I'm a fan. Come on. I'm a fan. I'm not a reporter. I'm a fan. So, but he went through at least half a dozen guitars, but he'd play the same, you know, he'd play the same one over and over again. It would come back out. He mainly played Tellys, a bunch of different Tellys. And, you know, his main blue Paisley Telly was out there. And there was a splatter Telly, which I don't really like the looks of. It's just kind of, I'm not a big fan of that one. Just the looks. I mean, it probably sounds and plays great. But it's the one he was shown on TV on Good Morning America on ABC the other morning. He was playing that one. And, but he did come out and play a Strat on one song. And, he did a solo, I don't even remember the name of the song, the really super fast instrumental song on the first album. It's a fast song as it is. He played it even faster than the recording in a live setting, and the band was impeccable. The band was amazing. He featured the fiddle player quite a bit. Fiddle player was amazing. Just the band in general. I mean, they are top notch. They really perform really well. Just super tight. It's pretty amazing. Now, Brad did say that the drummer was from Indiana, and whether that's true or not, I don't know. You know, who knows? Who cares? It's showbiz, right? And he did pick on the drummer quite a bit throughout the show, so it may have been one of those things. Drummer was amazing. Pedal steel was amazing. Oh, and I will say, remember I talked about McPherson guitars? There were a total on stage that I counted between the three acts. There were at least three McPherson guitars on stage. And remember I said that they were... They typically, the ones that I saw in Kentucky were $5,000 to $6,000. Well, I started looking into some of those McPherson guitars, and some of them go $10,000 to $15,000. So yeah, I'm probably never gonna get a nice McPherson guitar because I couldn't sell my car and get one. Because I think if I sold my car and got $2,000 or $2,500, I'd be lucky. So anyway, it was really kind of cool to see those. It's like, look, Sandy, those awesome guitars on stage. Brad really dominated the show. You're really focused on, it was tough to focus on anybody else on stage but him, because he was all over the place. His guitar playing was amazing. He was talking a lot. Really entertaining. Great entertainer. And a buddy of mine got one of his picks. What a jerk. And I tell you what. If you get a chance this summer to go, or in the future, even if like next summer, this is the spring of 2012. So if you don't see him this summer, or that you're just hearing this for the first time in 2013 or whatever, you get the chance to see Brad Paisley as a guitar player, whether you're a fan of country or not. It'd be really, really something to see a master at his craft. Not just performing, it's just that he's such an amazing guitar player. My opinion is one of the best out there right now, if not the best in Nashville, if not the best picker in country music. He's just amazing. He and Brent Mason are the two that I'm like just amazed with. Not just because of their speed, but just everything else that they can do with their guitars. Their style, like Brent Mason's blended styles of all of his influences from Jerry Reed and everybody else after. Then it's jazz influences, but Brad's unique style that's just really it's you know this Telly picking, but it's you know I don't know. Maybe one day they'll say it's Brad Paisley style. I don't know. Kind of like they talk about banjo, the Scruggs style of banjo picking. I don't know. I don't know if he'll be viewed like that, or the way that like Hendrix kind of changed electric blues for electric guitar in the '60s. Because a lot of people are still playing just like Hendrix did back then. So I'm a fan of my air conditioner. Just quit. Luckily, I'm like two blocks away from my building, so I'm gonna get that. Gotta get that fixed. Gotta get tires changed, and this fan fixed on my air conditioner. So you're gonna notice a little more noise now because I rolled down my window to get some air in here. It's kind of stuffy. This is not July. It's only like about maybe 68 degrees out. But yeah, if you get the chance to go see Brad Paisley this summer, I strongly recommend it. It's well worth it. And if you do like country music, you can't miss it. If you're a guitar player and like country music, you got to go see it. You got to go see the guy. See him in his prime. Now is the time. Do it now. So that pretty much wraps it up for another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast. Comment on the blog or show notes. If you liked what you heard today and subscribe using iTunes or Zoom, please let them know by writing a review. Thanks again for tuning in. This is Warren Cut signing off for the Guitar Podcast.